This is FM 90, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. We are on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. And tonight, I am hosting Tamara Wickma is my name. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And thank you for tuning in. We love to talk about love. We like to share the love and to just enlighten the conversation. It seems to be that it's really such a topic of what we are doing in our days, but not always given that much light and that much attention. And tonight, it's going to be a special show. We're going to be talking with Desiree Susan, who is planning to come on as a new host of Love in the 21st Century. So listen in as we talk about her listening to the show over this last few years we've been on, her information about herself, and a bit about what she's passionate about. It's sure to charm you and to make you giggle just a bit. So stay tuned for this awesome and amazing show. And before we dive in, we are going to be listening to some amazing music by Miss Ava Moon Rose, and it is Love Yourself. Such a great way to start this hour with a local musician talking about love in its simplest form.
You can't love nobody else if you can't love yourself. You can't love nobody else if you can't love yourself. You gotta take time to make time to love yourself. Take time to make time to love yourself. Listen to your heart song.
touch yourself. You gotta take time to make time to touch yourself. You gotta take time to make time to touch yourself. You gotta touch yourself. Touch yourself. Then listen to your heart's song. Listen to your heart's song. Then sing it out. Sing it out. Sing it out. Sing it out. Oh. 'Cause you can't love nobody else if you can't love yourself. You can't love nobody else if you can't love yourself. Go love yourself.
Well, here we are on Love in the 21st Century. We are talking about love each week on Tuesday, looking at it from new perspectives, how to look at love. And as we transition into this new year, and yes, I consider the Chinese Lunar New Year the official new year. It is now the year of the fire rooster. And they say it's all about diligence and getting things in order and doing things for the community, which, you know, is what we're all about here at Love in the 21st Century. So as things change and progress, we are going to be welcoming on new hosts and people that are interested in being a part of the Love in the 21st Century crew. And today we are fortunate enough to have someone here in the studio that has such a passion that wants to share and talk about love with our KZFR family. So I'm so happy that Desiree Susan has made the time to be here and talk about herself a bit and her interest in love. Thank you so much, Desiree.
Yeah. Hi, everyone.
Awesome. So, Desiree, I know that you've been a listener for a while of Love in the 21st Century, and we like to say it's one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training, one-third dating advice. And so the last part's always, yeah, it's kind of funny, and it gets people listening, you know. The catch in it really is, you know, is that the best dating advice is to love yourself, and mm-hmm. then other people will gravitate towards that energy. But, you know, it's kind of a subversive way to get listeners. But we do, during the year, spend some time talking about love and dating specifically. Mm-hmm. But, yes, so we want to learn a little bit more about you, Desiree, and maybe how long you've been listening to this show and just who you are.
Okay, well, I have been listening to Love in the 21st Century, oh, I feel like, couple years.
Nice. Yeah, we've been since, on air like
yeah
years.
Yeah, so it's been since almost the beginning of the show.
Nice.
And I find myself wanting to call in every single time, so I feel like, yeah, I have something to add to the show and yes. a different perspective than a lot of people, having lived in San Francisco mm-hmm. and having grown up in an interesting dynamic mm-hmm. of parent roles around me and having seen different types of love around me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a very interesting background and dynamic to add to the show.
Awesome.
And some interesting stories and even funny stories to tell people they might be able to relate to.
Yes.
And I feel like it's good the more that we talk about things, because if people feel alone, that's when they feel, you know, weird or ashamed or lonely or isolated. And I think that shows like this are important because we talk about things that maybe aren't talked about at your everyday conversations with people. Like, you're yes. not sitting around going, oh, you know, this happened to me with this guy, and, you know, just openly talking about it at the coffee shop.
Right.
So I feel like people tune into the show specifically for the purpose of learning something or getting something out of it in terms of right. relationships or advice or relating to someone's perspective mm-hmm. and, you know, walking away with something. Right. So they tune in for a specific purpose, and they're willing usually and open to receiving new information. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a really good place for me to give what I have to give to people in terms of Instead of just throwing it out there when I don't feel like they might not be ready for it, you know?
Right, absolutely. At least people are tuning in. You're like, okay, whether or not you actually want to hear what I'm saying, you have the radio set to the station and you're listening. So there's a part of you that wants to hear what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So I remember we had you on a while back. Do you remember what the topic of that show was?
Yeah, it was a lot to do with the shadow self.
Yes, yeah.
And loving that and learning to love your shadow self so that you can love your full self.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a huge, huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to love ourself in the best light. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm funny and I'm charismatic and I'm so witty. Yeah. But then you're like, oh, well, I procrastinate a lot and I have this dark past that I don't really like so much. But if you can overcome that and love it and go, well, I was doing the best I can with what I had.
Right.
And I, you know, learned something from it. I'm always asking, like, what am I learning right now?
Absolutely.
What can be learned from this past of mine, or what can be learned from my shadow self?
Such an important piece of our growth is to be able to look at the challenges in our lives and the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big one. It's like, probably, I feel like, one of the biggest jumps that I've made in my understanding of myself and relationship, but has served me so much in
mm-hmm.
my life to go,
mm-hmm.
okay, this isn't an obstacle. Like, even if it is an obstacle, this is here to teach me something about myself. And actually, once I get through this, I'm going to be stronger from it. So it's such a powerful thing to be able to share that with people.
Absolutely. And I feel like if we're able to love our shadow selves, then we're able to love other people's shadow selves. And that inherently
Absolutely.
Improves all of our relationships. And even not romantic relationships. Like, if you're able to appreciate other people's shadows or know that that's what's going on, instead of going, they're just a jerk, you know,
right.
because they might have this defense mechanism up, or they might be acting out in their shadow self. And right. if you're able to see that clearly and go, you know, let's just throw them some love and appreciation and understanding of where they're coming from. If you're able to do that, that will improve your relationships with everyone.
Absolutely. Such an important thing to give to people. And like you mentioned before, like having this show, like the whole idea back, you know, 2.5-3 years ago when the show started, was to create a larger dialogue around love. I mean, that was the goal, is for people to be thinking and talking more about love than we have, which isn't really that hard to do, because we talk about love, like you said, in kind of like this private setting, but we don't talk about love in like on a bigger scale when it's so important. It's such a big part of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do, from why we get up in the morning and why we pursue what we pursue, to the relationships we have, to the friendships we have, how much love we have for ourselves is so present in those things, and why we're doing them, you know, how much we love those things. So
mm-hmm.
so happy that you're joining this family and to share your love, which I know you feel so strongly, and you've been listening
mm-hmm.
and you have so much to add. And so I'm excited that you get to be a formal part of the show and
yeah.
on the radio saying what you love and letting people know, you know, where you're coming from. Because it's so funny, you know, it's so funny for me as a host talking on the radio, because it's so much a part of what I do now in my week and in my life that I forget that I am on the radio. And like other people
yeah,
mention it, and
yeah.
it's like, oh yeah, I wasn't just like having a conversation with Desiree at the coffee shop.
Right.
There might have been hundreds of people listening. Like, okay,
right.
cool. Wow,
yeah.
Powerful.
Right. Well, and I think in terms of like my interest in the show and why I keep listening is because I have been able to gain new insight and information and knowledge around love and relationships. And I think why I really love it is because, like, the old dynamics of relationships, and if we look at our parents and their generation and the generations before that, they didn't talk about taboo subjects, you know. They didn't talk about abuse or neglect or a lot of these things that we grow up feeling embarrassed or shame around
mm-hmm.
that really just need to be understood and put some love towards,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I think that as we change our dynamic in the 21st century.
Right.
We talk about these things and we relate to each other and we go, you know what? That little girl that was feeling ashamed and alone, we love her. Right. Let's send her some love, you know?
Yeah,
and so I think that we in this generation have the ability and power to transform ourselves with love.
Right.
That's my perspective and that's my whole goal for coming on to this show. And
awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, such an amazing and important component is to be talking about those taboo issues that people are not talking about, like you said. But like now in this, in our generation, it's becoming more commonplace to talk about those things. And
mm-hmm.
how do we talk about them with compassion and love for all people involved? And understanding that, you know, that people are only reacting from the experiences that they've had. So how do we continuously show up with compassion and support for each other instead of judgment and critique and sort of like this, oh, if I would never sort of position, because it is challenging and it's a lot easier to say, you know, from an intellectual place, like, I would never do that or I would never let something like that happen to me. And it's a totally different place from an experiential place of why someone chooses that and why someone is okay with certain mm-hmm. behaviors that other people are not.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Right. I think you never really know what you would and wouldn't do until you're in the situation.
Yes.
I know that sounds obvious, but, I mean, it's real. Like, until you really are experiencing it. You don't know what you would...
What you would do. Absolutely. And it's, I laugh because it's so common, right? It's
uh-huh.
so common for people that I would never, like... And it's like, okay, sure. Like, I had a friend that recently had a child, and her... And another friend has gotten pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, man, I don't think that she knows what she's getting herself into. And my friend who just recently had a child was like, no one... knows what they're getting themselves into in a very like serious tone. And it's
right.
like, yeah, you can intellectualize anything, like, oh yeah, I would do this and I would do that, you know. But in reality, you don't know.
Right
there's just too much to comprehend about any given experience
mm-hmm.
to think that you could prepare and you can project and you could, you know, do the best you could not to get yourself in that situation or
right.
experience
or right.
to control it, but at the same time you just don't actually know.
Well, and also, like, for me, and I think a lot of people, I change based on my experiences mm-hmm. and my new understanding and my new knowledge. And so I might act differently.
Mm-hmm.
I might have acted in a certain way based on who I was or what I was thinking then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learn or I change. And I might, change how I do something or how I behave
right
in a situation, you know?
Yes, and free to change at any moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where it's important to let your friends or loved ones be that. Like, let them change. Don't force it, but also go, you know, I recognize that you've changed and it's, you know, let them know. Like, that's healthy. I love that. I love if you've come to a new understanding in a different place and instead of pigeonholing them into like how their past has been, you know.
Right. Yeah, you're reminding me of a story of an experience with my mom. And I was driving with my mom and I always kind of had this view of my mom as like this kind of like totalitarian parent.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, she knew how to lay down the law. And she didn't even really have to like say very many words or do anything. It was just an energy about her. Like, you were just like, okay, you knew she meant business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, borderline feared around, like, telling her things you knew might upset her. Anyhow, the point is that I was an adult now. This is probably, like, 10 years ago. And I was driving with my mom, and we were, like, passing the skate park, I remember. And I looked over at her. And I was like, wow, she's not the person who I think she is. And it was like this, and it's, you know, it was this aha moment I remember very clearly. It's like this insignificant moment where I was driving in the car, but I remember looking at her and realizing she wasn't the summation of all the things that I thought she
right,
was.
Right.
And in that moment, like you said, in that moment, I gave her the opportunity to change, to transform, to be something different
mm-hmm.
than what I believed her to be, because I released that stronghold of image that we all create for each other.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so how powerful that is that you're saying is, like, how powerful it is to release that for other people and to let them change, because sometimes we hold people in certain positions. Mm-hmm. And they may or may not continue to be that person. They either continue to be that person when they're around us, or maybe they check out of our lives, or who knows. But at the same time, like, we hold them in that place, and we don't even know it.
Yeah, and it's limiting to them, and it kind of affects how they behave around us, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, those behaviors come out more, maybe. Like, it's almost like we are, what's it called, not self-sabotage, but like kind of a preconceived notion.
Yeah,
like
you're
expecting it.
Exactly.
And so it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, you know.
I had a relationship. It's a pretty long-term relationship like that where I lost myself in that relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, he was kind of a, I wouldn't say domineering, but he was definitely a dominant person. And at that time in my life, I didn't know myself very well and just kind of fit into his life.
Right.
And I became that person. And then all of a sudden, when I wanted to know more about myself and wanted to know what I liked, I was in this relationship that was not allowing me to change. Wow. So I was like, oh. So I just kind of kept fitting into that dynamic of who I was. And I felt he expected me to be.
Right.
And it was like, oh, okay. So there was no growth.
Right.
There was no change. There was no, it was a very stagnant time in my life.
Right.
But again, I was learning. Right. Because now I know what I don't want in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's just as important to learn. What we don't want is what we do want. Like, sometimes we don't even know what we want because it's so infinite. The possibility is so infinite of what we can actually receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't actually know until we're like, okay, these things I don't want. And then the world starts to bring us more of what we actually do want. We're like, oh, wow, I didn't even know I could have this.
Right.
This is amazing.
Right.
I really like this. I want more of this. And so then we can focus more on the more. But sometimes we need to just focus on the process of like, okay, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What your story was reminding me of is also, though, sometimes how I find myself, I've done in the past, is putting a preconceived idea in someone else's head. So sometimes I think that the other person expects something of me.
Mm.
And so I behave in that way. And then I just continue to behave in that way. And maybe they like it. Like, say, for instance, like cooking them dinner. Like, they like it, right? But they don't expect me to do it. But then there's a certain point of which, like, they kind of do expect it now because you've been doing it for the last 6 months. And now you're like, I don't want to cook dinner anymore.
Right.
And they're like,
I can totally relate.
What's the big deal? You know, like, you've been doing it for the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, you expect me to do that. But the reality was they never actually expected that. I've created this expectation that I lived up to. And so it's just interesting sometimes where expectations come from. Like, sometimes those expectations aren't actually in the relationship. They're in ourselves from...
based on our past or...
Exactly. Our families, our past relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
Our own ideals of what people do in relationship. It's amazing, you know? But it's not until we, you know, I feel like get into a partnership that we can really have those conversations, though they may be challenging, to get to a place where we can be in an optimal relating with one another.
Right, right. And I think that's where clear and open communication, that's where I feel like it's so important to really find someone that you trust and can be fully communicative with and let, you know, talk about anything, everything, you know?
Absolutely. That would be the goal.
That would be the ultimate goal, yeah.
Climbing up the mountain.
But speaking of, I really thoroughly believe, and I've been working on this a lot, being a single person, I've been like, writing these lists, you know, because I know and I believe that you focus on what you don't want, you'll get what you don't want. And if you focus on what you want, you'll get more of what you want, like you were talking about.
Yes.
You know, the law of attraction type of thing, and being down lists and being very clear.
Yes. Being very clear about what it is you want to create. So you can see it when it comes. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
So something that you mentioned before was kind of having different dynamics in your family. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to talk a bit about or tell a story about what you mean?
Yeah. So let's see. Without going too much into detail, because I do want to at some point go back into these subjects.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I will just say that I came from a pretty broken family type dynamic. My dad wasn't a part of my life. He basically was not around in my childhood. And I have discovered that, and I'm sure for a lot of people who haven't had one of their parents in their life, is that you kind of feel neglected. Mm-hmm. And for a long, long, long time, I had issues with trying to find a partner just to fulfill that attention or that male bonding that I needed and wanted. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize it, that it was because of that. You know, it just kind of like acted in a way that I didn't realize it was because of him. I didn't even put the two and two together, even though I felt pretty self-aware. Mm-hmm. And knew myself pretty well. It never dawned on me that the way I was acting was really due to neglect or feeling neglected by him.
Right.
And so that's one aspect. And then having my my mom was with a pretty abusive guy. Mm-hmm. And again, he created this voice in my head of who I was and how I was, and what it was all based on his own perception of me. Mm-hmm. and from an unhealthy perception of himself.
Absolutely.
And it all relates back to himself and how he feels about him, how he felt about himself. And so, but as a growing child, and I feel like a lot of people have this situation where you're told a certain thing and you start to believe that about yourself, and then that carries on. Right. And then all of a sudden you're having that issue come up in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And yeah. So it's not until you actually fully heal those parts of yourself that you're going to manifest a healthy relationship. Right. At least in my belief and perspective.
Absolutely. Or at least, you know, acknowledging those things and working through them.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly kind of like, I related to that parent thing too. Mm-hmm. Because I've always gone, oh, I have to be completely, you know, have this good job, be this thing, be perfect. Not perfect, but like be in a really healthy place in all these ways to have a good relationship. And then I'm like, I don't think you're ever ready, fully ready for a healthy, good relationship. Because, you know.
There's always deeper levels,
yeah.
It's like Mario Brothers in reverse. It's like you're going deeper and deeper instead of going up. You're just,
well, and sometimes until you meet someone, you don't know. Until you're actually in it,
yes.
You don't know what's going to trigger or what's going to come up.
Absolutely.
And you can't even put into practice all these things that you've been working on. Mm-hmm. If you're just single, like not working on it with anyone.
Right.
Because it actually takes practice.
Absolutely.
To put these things into, you know, place.
Yes.
So.
Two of the things I feel like really powerful that you said were just talking about putting things into practice. I remember I was single. Mostly single, we'll say, for like, in a general broad sense, stroke of the brush. I had relationships during that point, but they were nothing serious. And it was probably like 4 years. And I felt like really confident in myself. I felt like I knew myself. I was really successful. I was getting things done. I was a director of an organization. I was just like, yeah, like life is so put together. But it also, you know, felt... There was a loneliness that was very present, and I came to this place where it's like, okay, I want to be in relationship, and I feel that urgency in myself. But at the same time, it was like as soon as I got into relationship, all these issues that I was like, I've worked through this stuff. Like I've been doing all these practices, all these meditations, and like all this stuff. I've worked through this stuff, and then like you said, it's like. You can work with it to a certain extent, but there's such a big blind spot mm-hmm. when it comes to being in a relationship because that person's not there mirroring back to you exactly how you're sounding,
mm-hmm.
what your logic is, mm-hmm. your control issues, like all the things that you think that you have good handle on.
Yeah.
Get mirrored back to you tenfold.
Yeah. And well, and then you are dealing with theirs too.
Absolutely.
And that's a whole other thing, how you react to their blind spots.
Yes. And it, you know, it's a good way of like, how would you like your blind spots to be reacted to and responded to? So
yeah.
Powerful learning lessons, you know.
I've worked with a couple of really amazing life love coaches. Mm-hmm. In fact, both of them I would love to have as a guest on my show.
Awesome.
And one of them I remember specifically saying something to the effect of love is a practice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think it is, in terms of, I mean, I like to think that I just inherently love human beings for being human.
Right.
But sometimes it's like, oh man, you're not being very nice.
You're being very human right now.
You're like,
I love humans.
Yeah. You're being more like a monster child.
Exactly. But life is a practice. Like you said, it is. It is a verb. It's something that we do, and mm-hmm. it's how we show up. And
yeah, I mean, instead of just saying, I love you, mm-hmm. you actually have to work on it.
Right.
And that's where the, you know, practice comes in.
Absolutely. It's easy to love somebody when they're fulfilling all those needs and ways and showing up in such beautiful ways for you, and then it's another to love that person when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And love them anyway.
Yeah.
And love them as they are.
Yeah.
A good practice to be a part of, definitely. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contribution of KZFR supporters and by ID International, a design and web agency celebrating their new office location in Camilla Courtyard next to Morning Thunder and T-Bar. For questions about your company's logo, graphic design, or website, you can contact ID International at 892-9027 and at identity-international.com. Thanks for tuning in to KZFR and Love in the 21st Century. You can stream us on www.kzfr.org.
Inside out so I can see myself.
if you're just tuning in, this is Love in the 21st Century, and I'm talking with Desiree Susan, a new host of Love in the 21st Century. We're just getting to know her and talk a bit about love dynamics and what we're all looking for in this big game of love. So thank you for tuning in, 90.1 FM. You can also stream us on www.kcfr.org. All right. So, Desiree, one of the things that you mentioned to before was about, you know, just the little things that we can say to children that sometimes get carried into the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a powerful message to adults, to any adult that's around a child, because it's not, parents are not the only ones that shape children, even though parents probably have the most powerful effect on their children. All adults that say things to children have a big effect. But to bring that awareness also to ourselves of, like, what stories are we carrying with ourselves about, you know, from childhood. And, I mean, there's definitely distinct ones that I can remember that even, like, when I go back and, like, talk to my mom now about it, she's like, I don't remember ever saying that. But, you know, we mm-hmm. hold on to them. And so.
Oh, absolutely. And we hold on to them with that a little bit of a, like, usually, I mean, sometimes they're happy stories, but a lot of times they're not. They carry a little bit of trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think every single person has at least one,
right.
Even if we had great parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, some people have, you know, more.
Yeah.
But I've realized that in relationships, I've learned what those triggers are and where they come up and why they're happening. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to, like, work through those, like, because, yeah, I mean, when you're told or something happens as a child, you don't understand. You just kind of walk away and you're not emotionally able to even comprehend it. But mm-hmm. it affects you and you're like, why were they so mean to me? Why is that, you know?
Right.
And you carry over that. And especially over time, especially when you're talking somebody putting you down over and over and over right. again and growing up with that, because it plays out. It's like a tape. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, so I, especially when I was younger, I used to get really, when I'd get stressed out at all, which stress is a normal response in life, but mm-hmm. when I would have any sort of stress, it would automatically go, oh, it's because you're stupid or you're ugly or mm-hmm. people aren't going to love you or mm-hmm. whatever, these things that I was told, you know?
Right.
And I feel like there's so many people out there that have stories that they can relate to like that.
Absolutely.
And whether or not they've fully come to understand that that's what's happening, maybe some awareness around it would be healthy to talk about, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Such an important gift to give people the opportunity to really think about what your thoughts are telling you. Because we don't stop and think about, or listen to, rather, what's actually going on in our head when we're not talking and we're not thinking about something. There's, you know, often this sort of autopilot tape that's just going on and on about what our worth is, how important we are, what we're capable of, mm-hmm. and it influences us.
Yeah.
It influences
us definitely.
In the risks that we're willing to take, the relationships we're willing to have, the conversations we're willing to have. It really influences us. So, so important to be doing. And so I'm excited to know that you're wanting to talk more about that on the air and to invite some people that have helped you in your path, because that's a big part of it too, is that, you know, we all have teachers. There's people out there that are helping us in ways that they don't even understand sometimes. Like, sometimes it's a formal relationship and we know this teacher is helping this person. And then there's also other times where it's just two people talking, like you and I, Desiree, and it's uh-huh. like we're just helping each other to understand a greater story. And that's part of what we're doing here on the radio. It's like, for the most part, a lot of us are just really passionate people that want to talk about love. Like, mm-hmm. we're not necessarily experts, you know, experts in our own lives, experts in right. our own stories.
Right.
And I'm a true believer that through our own experiences and through our own stories, sharing those with others does influence change.
Oh, absolutely.
Because people, like you mentioned at the beginning, does influence them to see themselves in our stories, to see that they're not alone, mm-hmm. to see that, oh, wow, these people with these strange stories and talking on the radio, maybe I do have something worth sharing with other people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why people buy so many self-help books. They want to be able to relate. They Absolutely. Want to learn something from them. Yes. And in a way, this is kind of like an hour-long self-help book.
I love self-help books, you know? I totally do. And it's like a confession. I know. Yeah. Confessionals. I love self-help books. Because for a long time, I used to read self-help books. Like, when I first started reading them, probably 12 or 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like this thing that I was, like, ashamed of. I'd be, like, hiding my book. And maybe it was a crowd of people I was hanging out with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was, like, my own self-image. And, like, what does that mean to need, like, self-help, you know? But I'm proud to say that I enjoy and love learning how to know myself better, because mm-hmm. I feel like I can show up better in the world. And what I've experienced from books to classes to seminars to conversations have been astronomical.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Growth. And I wouldn't be the person that I was right now if I didn't try to learn more about myself and how I am in the world, because the person I was 10 or 12 years ago was a very sad, hurt, confused, angry,
type person. As I always say, hurt people hurt people.
Absolutely.
So it isn't until we actually identify that hurt mm-hmm. and love that part
right.
and heal it that we can actually fully love other people and be nicer, healthier, happier humans, you
right.
know?
Absolutely.
I mean, and like one of my favorite, obviously, we both know Emily Rose.
Yes.
Shout out to her.
Yes.
she's honestly one of my favorite little gurus mm-hmm. in her book.
Right.
That she came out with. Is just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I learned so much about the shadow self and mirrors and identifying where those are coming from, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. I used to just go, oh, I don't know why I don't really like that person. Mm-hmm. They rub me the wrong way, you know?
Right.
I was just like, we just have a difference in personality or something. I don't know.
Right.
But then it was after taking her love training and coaching and reading her book that I was like, oh, it's because of this within myself going on. That's like, oh, I'm not liking that about them because I can't stand that about myself.
Right.
And so when I was able to identify that, that's just one example.
Right.
But when I was able to learn and work through that, it helped me so much.
Yeah.
And overall, I really love it when I find someone that I don't click with because I'm learning so much from them.
There you go. Opportunity. Beautiful. Yeah, Emily Rose, what a gem. Yeah, she was fun to have on the show talking about her perspective. And the book that you're referencing is Breaking Your Bad Love Habit.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yes.
You can find it on Amazon, I'm sure. And I think there's a workbook that goes
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'd be great to have Emily on soon. I know that she's doing working her magic in
Austin,
Texas.
Yeah.
Sharing her gifts of writing and coaching with folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome for her.
Yeah.
So what else do you have going on in your life, Desiree? What are you passionate about?
Well, that's honestly a great question, because this is something that I really deeply believe in, as much as, and I believe it is a source of love, is helping people be healthy and through the holistic means. And I currently work at the New Earth Market.
Nice.
And I work in the health and, they call it the health and beauty. I like to call it the wellness department just because I think about it that way.
Right.
And so I've decided that I'm actually going to attend an online holistic nutrition consultant program through
awesome.
A college in Berkeley
mm-hmm.
Because I started this journey as a like passion with a blog that I was writing. And then I got this job, and through the job, I've met so many people that I feel compelled, like it is my calling to help people.
Wow.
To eat healthier and to, you know, find whatever holistic supplements and vitamins and herbs they need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, it is one huge way that I help people in the community love themselves and mm-hmm. feel good. And how I show love to people is definitely through either cooking for them or helping them be healthy.
Right.
And it's something that I'm so passionate about.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So what is the name of your blog? How can people find that?
Well, actually, I'm working on revamping it because it was a different website that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to turn it into like a coaching thing. So I'm actually coming up in, with a name for the business overall. But I have all my blogs saved. So stay tuned for that. Like, I will definitely be putting it back up online soon.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So exciting and such a great way to give back.
Yeah, I think it's important because I've had so many friends end up with cancer or dying from cancer. And I always am like, well, what's causing all of this? And, you know, having grown up around the Western medicine, I know it has its place. But overall, I feel like that it's so important to empower people with knowledge about how to know their body and heal their body themselves through natural means. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, like I said, it's one of the biggest ways that I feel I do love my community and show them love is by empowering them.
Right. Absolutely. And it's such a big part of who we are. I mean, we don't maybe think about it all that much, especially like in the modern world and with all our conveniences. But what we eat is who we are. What we put into our body is what affects
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. On a cellular level, in 28 days, you can change who you are, literally.
Wow. You can, 28 days. That's amazing.
You cellularly can, yeah, you are what you eat, literally, like you're saying. Yeah. And not only that, but I think a lot of people might not quite understand it. A lot of people are catching on and getting on board with the fact that your brain is so affected by what you eat. And right. So your mood, how you treat other people, how you feel, and really how your relationships are, it can be so affected by what you're eating and what you're consuming and your supplements and things you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
Because your gut and your brain talk to each other through the gut-brain axis, and it's such a huge part
absolutely.
Of the love dynamic that people might not think about.
Right.
You know, yeah. They might be moody or not feel good, and they're sluggish and tired because they don't feel like, you know, necessarily hanging out with their partner as much or their friends, and their energy levels are low or all kinds of things go on, you know?
Right.
And it's so important to realize that you can change that through healthier foods and taking the right vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I look forward to your future 28-day challenge that I'm now manifesting.
Yeah.
And your coaching and also you bringing those insights and gifts to the air. We definitely had segments on before where love and food and love in the body. And I just see both of those come, you know, being really well played on the air so that mm-hmm. people can just glean a little bit, you know, get a little information that can benefit them in their life. And if they feel so inspired, like reach out to you, reach out to others and get in a path that's feeling more fulfilling for them and for their relationships. Because like you said, you know, I think we all are very well aware, especially because of like the Snickers commercial now, hangry.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a real thing.
Oh,
you know?
No, it really
it's
is.
It's not just for people that are, you know, low in insulin. Like it's, which has kind of typically been like blood sugar mm-hmm. relation for people. It's for everybody. We all know that when we don't eat at all, that we are less tolerable to the world. And so eating is not just like if you have time, eating is a mandatory thing. And also what you're sharing, Desiree, that it's important what we're eating, mm-hmm. what we're putting in our body, because that has such a big effect on how we show up as well. So if you're eating, all you're eating is Snickers.
Yeah.
you're like, you might show up very agitated and with a stomach ache too. So
yeah.
Important
yeah.
to think about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So great. So we've talked a bit about you, Desiree. We talked a bit about your story and what you have to offer and what you want to bring to the station, as well as what other passions are for you. And I'm so excited to see how those things can sort of intermingle mm-hmm. with themselves. I'm curious if you have any things that you want to add with our guests or just insights that you want to share before we finish up.
Not that I can think of right now, mm-hmm. not off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for being willing to come into the studio and share about yourself and share where you're coming from, about your story, and yeah, just what you have, what you're looking forward to adding. I feel like it's going to be a really beautiful piece of the show. And Desiree is going to be on most likely once a month, and she'll be trading off with the other couple hosts that are here, myself and Brian Anthony, as well as Adam Mose. And so the idea, as we did last year, is that we'll each be taking a different week and we'll be spearheading it. And so you'll hear other voices on the air those days too, but they'll be the gurus behind the magic of what you're experiencing, meaning what topic we're talking to, who's showing up, and all that jazz. And of course, as usual, if you have something that you want to add to this, to the station, if you want to add something to the conversation, you're welcome to leave us a note on Love in the 21st Century Facebook page. You can call the station 895-1114, and you can also call the KZFR office 895-0706 and leave a message for us, and we will answer questions. If you have questions that you are dying to know, like, what do you do if da 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 da, if I'm having this challenge in a relationship, this person won't leave me alone, or I want to have more of this type of communication style. Like, we are so inspired to serve the people of what they really want to hear and what would be beneficial for them. So we're sharing from our hearts about our personal experience and what we feel inspired to share. But sometimes that can be so inspired by somebody who is listening and what they are really needing. So if you can't get on the air when we're talking, call the station, leave us a message on Facebook, and we will do our best to address whatever you've got going on, too. That's what makes this an interactive experience, is to have guest and listener involvement. So thank you so much for tuning in to Love in the 21st Century. We are so happy and so loved to be here with you. And thank you again, Desiree, for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And we will be having more conversations here in the future.
Yeah.
Your silence when it's rooted in compliance. To stand firm in loving defiance. Make art your alliance. Give voice to the fire. Move people to the beat of the wind. Gather yourself and begin to dance the song until it ends. We are winners, champions of the light, forming in numbers and might. Keep the truth close inside.
Medicine woman, medicine man, walking with grace, I know your face and I trust your hands. Medicine woman, medicine man, walking with grace, I know your face and I trust your hands. Find your teachers in the voice of the forest. Unplug, you can't ignore this wisdom of the voiceless. Remedies are bountiful and surround us from the garden to the farthest. Prayer made of stardust. Find your healing in the music that calls you, the voice that enthralls you. What do you belong to? Eyes up, there's the setting of the sun. Give thanks to each and everyone. The lesson is the medicine woman, medicine man. Walk in with grace, I know your face and I trust your hand. Medicine woman, medicine man, walking with grace, I know your face and I trust your hand.
worship back into the messages and action. The art is feeding, stop stark the disbelieving, cause the garden holds the shards, the medicine is in the seeds. When we hold tight to our right to protect, and we know our might is tenfold in connection. Our elders hold them bright lights, we protect them. The medicine is evident, the wolf, the hawk, the bear clan. We hold tight to our right to protect, and we know our might is tenfold in connection. Our elders hold them bright lights, we protect them. The medicine is evidence, the wolf, the hawk, the medicine woman, medicine man. Walking with grace, I know your face and I trust your hands. Medicine woman, medicine man. Walking with grace, I know your face and I trust your hands.
You've been listening to Love in the 21st Century, KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Thank you so much for tuning in to Love in the 21st Century. We extend our hearts to you. So many gratitude, so many thanks to listening and sharing and spreading the love. It's what it's all about. It's just how can we create more love in this world? There's so much pain, there's so much suffering, and so much anger. And one way that we can consciously choose to combat that in a loving way is to just show up in loving presence and compassion. It is probably one of the most challenging things we can ever ask ourselves to do when we are thinking about those that we are challenged by. But it will be, I guarantee you, one of the most meaningful things that you'll ever do if we each find a way to show up in loving understanding to those that we do not agree with. So thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for Ecotopia coming up next with Stephen and Susan Chudy. They're on every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. They discuss environmental issues with nationally renowned authors and activists. Eco Talk, it's your local link to a global network of folks who know and care about the health of our planet. I love you. Stay well. Stay healthy. I'll see you and talk to you quite soon.
Hey, guys. Will Durst here with a few choice words about Donald Trump's unusual victory dance. Now, traditionally, a newly elected president hits the ground running with his hand outstretched in a gesture of camaraderie and fellowship. Not Donnie John. With all the grace of an angry anvil, he hit the ground whining, slapping the face of pretty much everybody he ran into. In a twist of Dickensian proportions, he claims the election was stolen, even though he won. According to the most aerodynamically coiffed president in history, 3 to 5 million undocumented aliens illegally cast ballots against him, which is why he didn't win the popular vote. It's the only possible answer, because how could Donald Trump possibly not be associated with whatever was most popular? It's unthinkable and unprecedented. The Donald sure does love his invisible people. The invisible people who cast fraudulent ballots are obviously totally different than the invisible people who came to Washington to be the largest crowd to ever witness an inauguration, but then vanished into thin air when aerial photographs were taken. Maybe they're shy. And neither of these groups of invisible people should be confused with the thousands of invisible people who were celebrating 9/11 in New Jersey, the ones that only he saw. Maybe it's a sixth sense sort of thing. Instead of, I see dead people, it's, I see non-existent people. I think during the rest of the term, we can expect them to see leprechauns and ghosts and sprites and pixies and invisible enemies as well. He doesn't just have a vision for this country. He has a super X-ray vision for this country. He's like Clark Kent, only less buff and way blonder. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills,